Hello, and welcome to Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. I'm Leanne Pruitt, your host, and we have another wonderful interview for you. I'm so excited that my friend Cheryl Bailey is here. Cheryl, welcome.
Thank you. I am very excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. We're going to have a good time today. And I want to tell that I want to read a little bit about you for the audience so that you know, you guys know what you're in for. Cheryl is the founder and CEO of Grit and Grace Meditation. She's an educator, speaker, workshop facilitator, and number one best-selling author. She is a 200-hour certified mindfulness meditation instructor, an MMI mindful trainer, a 200-hour certified yoga teacher, and a 40-hour divine sleep yoga nidra teacher. She is passionate about teaching people how to live their best life one breath at a time, and she combined her love of academics with personal and spiritual growth and began her venture as a solopreneur. After facing several traumatic and life-altering events, Cheryl found a sense of purpose and meaning through the practice of meditation and yoga. Their teaching served as an anchor and healing modality, creating a deep and radical shift physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. This has inspired Cheryl to create a space for sharing what she has learned. Her goal is to encourage others to build a greater sense of inner peace and self-awareness and to help people live their best life one breath at a time. She holds steady with the belief that you never stop growing in life and all your dreams can come true if you have the courage to pursue them. Oh, that's lovely, Cheryl. I love that.
So true, isn't it? I'm really excited to be here and to dive into all of this.
Well, you know, Cheryl, I love the name of your company, Grit and Grace. It's really beautiful. Can you tell us a little more about your journey, how you got to where you are?
Sure. As I said in my bio a little bit, I've been through some tumultuous times, and which I'm sure that many of us, you know, when you get to a certain age that you can look back and you're like, gosh, I have no idea how I ever made it through that, right? And I can say that there's like a few of those in my life. One was approximately 16 years ago. I had been married for a while, was a stay-at-home mom, and we had three children together. And the youngest was 12, and then the youngest was 5, and the oldest was 12. And I went through a divorce. And it was really life-altering at the time, mainly because I had been home, a stay-at-home mom. I had no college education at the time and no job. So I found myself really trying to, or really knowing that I have to reinvent myself and move forward, right? And there is always that fear of change. And can I step up to this challenge and can I move through? And that would be one point in my life that I'd have to say that really I needed to pivot, and never really wanted to have my hand out and, you know, hope that someone's going to take care of me. And I needed to, you know, lean on myself. So that was one time in my life that I stepped up, really. I returned to school. It took me about 5.5 years to get my college education. And all the while I was working part-time, raising my children and trying to take care of them. And then really discovering who I was as an individual, who Cheryl was, not who the wife was or the mother was or the friend or the sister, just really who I was and what I wanted in life and how I could start to transform things to also put myself first. Mm-hmm. And really started to learn that when I took care of myself, I was in a better position to take care of others. You know, I like to say you can't really pour from an empty cup, right? Excellent. And then moving forward in life, I was lucky enough to meet my second husband. And after dating him for about a year and a half, he was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. Mm-hmm. And so here again in my life, I was faced with this, wow, you know, like life does not go along with the white picket fence and the beautiful house and all the lovely things that we expect, that, you know, that we come up against these challenges. And so I think once again, you know, I was totally challenged in my life and in my belief system and, you know, tested. And really that's where the word grit comes from. You know, grit means, you know, you're digging in and you're pushing through. And on those days that you really want to just stay in bed or you want to throw your hands in the air and say, okay, you know, God, I've had enough. Grit is really digging in and saying, nope, you know, I've got one shot at this. And, you know, this is life and it's got the peaks and valleys and the ups and downs, and I got to ride this. And, really just continuing to move forward in life and then really just kind of fully surrendering. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's where the grace comes in, fully surrendering and knowing that, the shame that I have may felt around the divorce or the guilt of, you know, being the survivor, when my husband passed away, the not knowing, all the things that you bear as an individual, whether that's, I wasn't smart enough or I wasn't good enough or I did this wrong, and all of those things that come with it, and just really surrendering and saying, these are circumstances that happened in life. And, you know, I rose to each of the occasion, and now I have to forgive myself and I have to let go of that shame and all of the unworthiness that I carried, and said, you know, let's just see who I am without all of that, and really just surrendering and knowing that it's just life that happens, and accepting it and really moving forward through life. And maybe it also comes with age too, and just saying, you know, it's part of what happens. And so that's where really the grit and grace for my business came from. And really over time, there's so much that has evolved with myself as far as bringing all of these practices in and giving myself that grace to lean into the practices and really discover who I am and my connection to my source, my higher power.
Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you, Cheryl, and I may have just cut you off. You may have been going to say this. When did the yoga and meditation and that sort of stuff come in? Had you always done that, or did you turn to it for some sense of peace with some of these things you were going through?
Right. I can actually pinpoint when all of this started. When I was going through my divorce, really, I was so busy and things were so stressful that I didn't have a lot of extra time. Mm-hmm. And when I had met my second husband in 2011, I was definitely exercising. You know, we go to the gym, we exercise, but I had never really discovered the practice of yoga. Mm-hmm. And then after my husband passed away, I was seeking counseling, and my counselor actually said to me, Cheryl, you cannot continue at this pace because the cortisol is, you know, coursing through your veins. You're not sleeping. You know, I was choosing not to do, drugs to help me through that. And so, cause I wanted to be present for my kids. I still needed to work. I still needed to pay bills. And, at the time, also, Hurricane Sandy was not too friendly to me. So I had literally lost my husband in June, and then we were pushed out of our home in October of that same year. So there was quite a few stressful things going on at that time. And so taking the advice from my counselor, she said, you need to find an outlet. And I just decided to try this yoga class and absolutely fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess it's like throughout my whole life, I was trying to make all of these things perfect, you know, the perfect house, the perfect wife, the perfect, you know, kids and the perfect conversations and all of that. And I guess that's really where I started to lean into that, you know, who defines perfection and why am I striving for all of this? Because it's creating such anxiety and stress for myself. And really the practice of yoga started to allow me to lean more into myself and be more accepting. And then really meditation, it did not come right away. It definitely did not. Now, yoga and meditation, if you go to a class nowadays, sometimes you'll find that they go together. You'll sit on your yoga mat and you'll meditate before a class or after a class or what have you. But when I first started to practice meditation, I was like, I don't understand this. I don't even know why it's beneficial. And, you know, I think I actually probably snoozed, you know, and thought, oh, that was a good little nap. And it wasn't until, you know, I guess a few years later that I started to really uncover, you know, what meditation was and how it's so important and how it physically changes the structure of our brain. But it really was the yoga first and then the meditation second. And then I started on this huge path of taking additional courses to really understand what the practice of meditation does for us. And so it really was this evolution over, you know, 10, 15 year period. It's not like all of a sudden one day I woke up and I said, I'm going to practice yoga and I'm going to meditate and I'm going to be perfect at it, because I think it's just this path, this journey that we're on, and little by little these pieces come into our life and we decide if they're going to serve us or we're going to put them by the wayside. And I think that's what happens with many people.
Exactly. Well, you know, when you were talking, I just kept, you know, so many things, like you were talking about how, like, the perfection and the anxiety and trying to have the perfect kids and all this kind of stuff, that was such clutter. And, you know, when you were able to actually get into the, you know, the meditation class and kind of become present and stuff like that, it was just, you know, you were able to just, you know, get rid of the clutter of that.
So much clutter. And, you know, that's why I love when you say you have clutter in your life. And it's not just physical things, right? We can all have those external pleasures that we seek out to try to fill something internally that we may be missing, right? So that's the clutter that could get in our way. But also the internal clutter, you know, the belief system that we have, all the things that we need to think that we need to be, or who we have to present ourselves as. Those are things that, until you clear them out of the way, you can't really declutter your own life, you know?
Exactly. Well, now let me ask you, of course, this series is called Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life,
right?
Free your time, reclaim your energy. What does Ace Your Space mean to you?
So to me, in the perspective of what I teach, is something that we were just discussing, is declutter your space. You know, there's the physical space that we live within, but then there's also the physical space of our body and the container that we live in. So I would say that as I looked at this, I was like, well, how do I fit into this? And it would definitely be, you know, what do we think about ourselves, and how do we burden our own selves with our own belief system? You know, as I was saying, you know, so many times I used to think that I had to have everything in a perfect order, in a perfect space, and it had to, for the outside world, you know, everything needed to look wonderful and shiny, and, you know, my kids a certain way and me a certain way, or my family. And then those expectations create that internal anxiety. And then when things start to crumble, there's where shame comes from too. You know, I felt such shame when my ex-husband and I got divorced. And, you know, it's those things stuck with me for a while, you know, not being able to have certain conversations because I didn't have the confidence to do it because I was in such shame, you know, because people saw me as a certain way and I no longer lived up to those expectations. Whereas now I realize that's just circumstances. These are circumstances. These are things that happened in life. And at the time it was quite devastating. And now I can look back and say, I am a completely different person than I was then, and I've evolved. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that is something that needed to happen so I could evolve into the best version of myself. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think, the clutter that we tell ourselves, the thing, you know, those repetitive stories that play over and over again, whether it's not, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not, you know, fit enough, I'm not whatever. Those are the repetitive things that we tell ourselves. That's the clutter that I would think of.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, it just like you were describing, for me, clutter is not just the physical piles that you have
right
in the corner or something. It's anything that gets in the way of you and your goals and dreams, what you want to do in life. And I think so much of that is mental clutter, these stories we hold on to, these expectations, things like that. How can, like, you know, like mindfulness, meditation, a yoga practice, how can these behaviors, how can they help people with when they have, like, you know, lower their mental clutter?
Right. So there's the practice of meditation. There's a formal practice of meditation, meaning you're actually sitting for a number of a certain determined amount of time that you have determined. Mm-hmm. And then you're sitting and doing that meditation practice. And then there's ways that you can weave meditations / mindfulness within your day. So we have something, you know, the default motor network, and a lot of us operate in the default motor network. And then to give an example to you on what that is, just in case somebody's not sure, it's like, have you ever gotten in your car and you were at work and you go to drive home and you drive home and you're like, whoa, how did I get here? I don't remember the roads that I took or the people that I passed or the lights or anything. We're operating in our default motor network. Our brain automatically takes over because that pattern has been rewritten so many times that it just takes over. So the practice of mindfulness takes you out of the default motor network and puts you into the direct experience. Mm-hmm. So you're directly experiencing what's happening in life, bringing you into present moment awareness. Mm-hmm. Present moment awareness is where we want to be because this is where life is happening. So mindfulness is paying attention on purpose in the present moment with a non-judgmental attention. That's how it's been defined. So if you would want to bring in the practice of mindfulness, then you want to be paying attention on purpose to certain things. So for example, if you're driving in your car, you're actually driving in the car and you're noticing the cars that pass you and you're noticing the colors or you're noticing nature around you or you're noticing, you know, the people that may be walking. Another example, when you're in the shower, a lot of us are really, we're in the shower physically, but our minds are already into our day, right? All of us are at fault for this. Mm-hmm. And so being in the shower, when we're showering, do you feel the water? Do you feel the warmth? Is it cool? Are you smelling the shampoo or the soap? Do you feel it as it washes over your body? As opposed to, this is just something that you automatically do and you're in and out and you didn't even realize what the shower was feeling like or what was happening at those times. Mm-hmm. So you can do, you know, you can weave mindfulness all throughout your day, whether it's walking, washing the dishes, taking a shower, when you're driving, and you're not spending time in the future planning or preparing or controlling. So, because when we're in the future, sometimes that's creating anxiety for us, right? Because we don't know what's to come and we can't control it. And so we sit and we try and figure it all out, which creates some anxiety for us as individuals. Or if you're ruminating about the past and you're thinking of the should-haves and the could-haves and the would-haves and everything that you would have done differently or said or acted, then you're creating stress because those things have passed us and there's nothing that we can do about our past. And so I'm saying that present moment awareness, this middle lane, this lane that we are in right here, right now, like this moment, paying attention to it, because all these moments string together and before you know it, they're gone and you haven't paid attention. So I would say that those are really a great way, things that we can weave in our life. And, you know, the formal practice we have, there's so many different apps that you can get on your phone and start small and work your way up. You know, it physically changes the structure of our brain and it calms our nervous system. And it's a great way to bring us into present moment awareness. And it also starts to uncover a lot of things that we hold internally. It's just what the practice does. And it allows you to begin to understand yourself a little bit more and what you want in life. And I'd say that between the practice of yoga and meditation, I would have to say that those are the two modalities that really helped me to begin to uncover my true inner self, to keep uncovering those versions so that I can continue to live my best version.
You know, that brings to mind, it's really interesting. I know that a lot of people, they tell me when they talk about their physical clutter, what they've got, they tell me that they have, that it, you know, that there ain't, you know, it brings up, you know, just thinking about it and looking at it brings up anxiety or stress. And I was just thinking, you know, it's like a lot of times I would imagine the stress probably comes from like, oh, how did I get into this mess? Why did I buy all this stuff? Or where did all this stuff come from? So looking back at the past, and the anxiety might be from, oh my gosh, this is going to be so difficult to clean up. How am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? So they are either in the past or in the future. And if they were in, if they could get to the present moment and just be in that present moment, they could reduce that. And it would be much easier for them to actually be able to do something about that physical clutter.
Exactly. Because, you know, whenever we even have physical clutter or something serious going on in our life, you know, we're speculating what's going to happen, or if something goes wrong, then we're shaming ourselves or faulting ourselves or feeling guilt around it. And so none of this can happen unless we start to take baby steps, right? Mm-hmm. And so you start to make a plan. And I'll give you an example. When I was going to, when I went back to college, I started college at the age of 40, the first time I ever had stepped into a college classroom. And I took this big chunk and I looked at all the classes I had to take, and I'm like 120 credits. Oh my gosh, I'm never going to get that, right? And at the time, I'm a mother of three small children and I'm working part-time and I have a house and I have bills and I have all of these things. And I'm like, how am I going to do this? And so I broke it down into baby steps and I'm like, okay, so if today, this is what I have to do today, this is what I have to get through today. And then you maybe, if you feel like you can get through that, then you just look at the week, or I would take it then maybe by semester. Okay, instead of 120 credits, I'm only dealing with 12 credits right now.
Right.
So it all starts with baby steps. And you're absolutely right that that all can create stress and anxiety. And so we have to really just start to map out. So that's whether we journal it, or we sit with ourselves, or we work with a coach, or we do all of those things. You know, those are the baby steps, because sometimes we get so deep that we really do need someone to help us through that.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, you know, I think a lot of people might kind of get hung up on the meditation thing. They might think, oh, it's going to take too much time. I've got to do it exactly right. I have to like completely clear my mind out. I can't do that.
Right.
So what would you say to people? I mean, I know we talked about, you know, mindfulness is very easy to bring in just in everything that we do, but how about meditation? How can people kind of get started doing some meditation? You mentioned the apps, but what are some other tips that you can give on that?
So if anyone really is interested, I'm more than happy to help as well. But there are five essentials that my teacher taught me and I teach from. All right. So my teacher is Sarah McLean. She's a master meditator. She has her own business, studied under Deepak Chopra, lived in ashrams, and has been teaching for over 35 years.
Wow.
So wonderful teacher and leader, and I've learned from her. So five essentials. Number one is be kind to yourself. So the way we speak to ourselves in life, and then the way we speak to ourselves internally, we're the ones that hear it. And so we always need to start with being kind to ourselves, right? You know, we're not striving for perfection here. We're just striving to meditate, and we're going to start small. We're going to start with 3 minutes or 5 minutes. And then we're going to build up if we can find that we can sit that long. And you're right. A lot of people do come to me and say, oh, I just can't do all of those things. And I can't clear my mind and I can't stop my thoughts. So the next one would be let expectations go. We're not creating anything super spectacular. We could have a spiritual experience and maybe we don't, or we could sit there and we could meditate and it could be full of thoughts. But what we're doing is we're training our brain. So we were always taught when we were young, you know, exercise your body. As I said, this is the only container we get. So garbage in, garbage out. Whether that's bad food or bad thoughts or whatever, that's what we're going to start seeing. So when we're kind to ourselves, then our body starts to, you know, respond in that way. There's a definite connection between mind, body, spirit. They're all connected. So if we're taught to exercise our body, we were really never taught to exercise a very important muscle, the brain.
Right.
Meditation does this. So just as if you were to go into a gym and you're lifting like the barbell, you would never go in and start with 100 pounds, right? So you would never dive into a meditation and say, oh, I'm going to sit here for a half hour and I'm going to be a master meditator. So that's why I'm saying we're starting small, because you're going to start small and you're going to work up. And what you're going to notice is most often when I teach people meditation, we're using our breath as an anchor, because our breath is always with us. And so it's a great modality, because you can take it with you anywhere, right? You can do it in the car, you can do it on an airplane, you can do it at work, you can do it at home. And so you're using your breath as your anchor. And every single time that you're sitting, so you're sitting in your practice and you're focusing on your breath. The minute that you notice you're no longer focusing on your breath and you bring your attention back because your thoughts have come in, which is so apt to happen.
Right.
That's the win, because you're like, oh, I'm not focusing on my breath anymore. I'm thinking about what I'm going to cook for dinner. Bring yourself back to your breath. And you do that as many times as you have to. And that's the beginning of meditation. And it takes people years and years to actually sit for like a minute without having thoughts come in. Mm-hmm. So it's just the physical practice of bringing your attention and refocusing. Mm-hmm. So you're letting expectations go because you're not allowing that frustration to come in. You may have a spiritual experience. You may not. You may come out of it stressed. You may feel like you're crying, but then you also may come out a little calmer. But each time, each meditation is a little bit different. The next one would be, it's okay to have thoughts. So this is a number one rumor that I dispel with any of my clients, because right. They're like, I stink at meditation because I can't clear those thoughts out. And I'm like, you're not supposed to. So I'm here to let you off the hook. Don't worry about that. We have 70,000 thoughts a day. And with those thoughts, they come so often. Mm-hmm. And so it's natural. Like, we're always thinking. So imagine if you're always thinking and then all of a sudden you're sitting and you're expecting to be in silence. You have to train your brain to do that, right? Because that's the nature of the brain, is to think. So as I said, those thoughts will come up. The minute that you notice those thoughts come up, just go back to your focus point, whether it's your breath or a mantra or right. something that you're hearing. Mm-hmm. And so don't try too hard. We want to come at this with a beginner's mind. Mm-hmm. And when I say a beginner's mind, you know, we all like to say, oh, I know that. I did that before. You know, I meditated and I was really bad at it. Or someone tried to show me that before. Or I've had this experience. So every time that we sit in meditation, we come to it with a beginner's mind and we just let unfold what happens during the meditation. And the final one would be stay with it. Mm-hmm. And meaning in two forms. So if you have, you're practicing meditation and you're using an app on your phone and you've set your timer, or the meditation is supposed to guide you and it's going to last 10 minutes, mm-hmm. then sit for the full 10 minutes, because that's training your brain. You know, mm-hmm. just as if you were training a dog, you know, to stay. Yeah. You got to stay, right? And you're like, I'll tell you when you're going to stop. So it's training the brain that you're slowing it down, right? You're slowing it down. I'm training it. and you want to stay with it. So mm-hmm. if you set 10 minutes, you do 10 minutes, not 5 minutes into it, go, oh, that's good, I'm out of here. Because then that's just letting yourself off the hook to do the yep. same thing next time. Mm-hmm. And then stay with it for the long run, meaning pick the practice, stay with it, and the benefits unfold. And I can honestly tell you, I had extreme anxiety, a lot of stress in my life. And this is something that I've practiced now for years, on and off for a while. And I'd say in the last few years, I don't miss a day. Mm-hmm. And it has helped immensely with allowing myself to discover self-awareness, to see when stress or anxiety mm-hmm. starts to creep in, and noticing what goes on in the body when this happens, you know, because there is a physiological response every single time stress and anxiety comes into our body. And now I can physically notice it. And then I can turn to, you know, long, slow, deep breathing, or those things that I can use to calm myself down and say, this is not true right now. You know, this is not happening, because our brains perceive it to be happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got it. That's so good. That is so interesting. So now let me ask you, Cheryl, what tips would you give us to help us free our time and reclaim our energy?
Right. So, you know, when I usually do a little presentation when I'm teaching my students, the biggest thing that people say is, oh, Cheryl, I just don't have time to meditate. You know, my day is already busy, right? So what I would say is, usually I come back with, well, let's talk about, you know, how much time you would want to set aside. Ideally, a great formal practice of meditation is 20 minutes, and you work your way up to it. And then I would say, well, let's look at how much time you spend on social media. Let's look at how much time you spend on Netflix. Let's look at how much time you spend on the internet scrolling. Let's look at how much time you spend watching TV. And usually I share statistics with them, and they'll be like, oh, wow. You know, we all spend far too much time on a lot of things that we shouldn't. So really, Leanne, I think it's about making it a priority. So if you're looking to change the way you feel in life when that comes to stress or anxiety, and you're looking to declutter that and create more of a sense of peace and ease, it doesn't just happen by talking about it. You have to be in action. So I would say, let's start with decluttering your life with things that really don't serve you. I'm all for social media. You know, it's where I run a lot of things for my business, connect with people, connect with family. But I know that I too could probably scale back on a daily basis, and scrolling through and looking at other people's lives and what they're doing sometimes creates anxiety internally for us already. So I'm not saying to give it up completely, but there's a place that you can actually look. And I'd like to say that if you could start your day with meditation, is extremely beneficial, because it helps you set your trajectory for the day. Mm-hmm. So maybe set your alarm clock back, or however you wake up, like 15 minutes, and carve that time out for yourself. Right. And then I usually bookend my day and do that at the end of the evening before I go to bed, to kind of clear the dishes, meaning clear the stress that I've taken on through the day. And then that way, when I go to sleep, I have like this sense of peace and ease that I can get a good night's sleep.
I love that. Those are great ideas.
Yeah.
All right, I got a couple more questions for you.
Sure.
So how old would you be if you did not know how old you were?
I love that question. And I would say I would be in my 20s, because yeah. I always knew when I was a teenager, my girlfriends and I would always say, oh, I wish I was 21, right? Because that was the age, that was the drinking age. I could drive. I was old enough to make my own decisions. And so I would say I'd be 21. And then I have to laugh, because about, it was just a month ago, my son turned 29. And I was like, well, I'm certainly not 21 because he's 29. But, you know, you get this picture of yourself mm-hmm. in time, and then all of a sudden, you know, life happens and you're like, gosh, I don't know how I got to be this age. But if my children are in their 20s, I certainly am not. That's just a snapshot in time, and it was a good time. And I think that's always what I wanted to be. But quite frankly, I am very happy where I am because I'm really more my true self.
Mm-hmm. Well, you channel that 21 through your true self.
Absolutely.
I love that. Okay. So you're about to fight in a boxing title match. You're entering the ring. What song is playing?
You're unbelievable.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
great song. I love it.
Yes, it is.
That's good. All right. Now, let me ask you this. I think you've got a gift that you're providing to the audience.
Yes. So I could, you know, talk about meditation and mindfulness forever. And there's many pieces that come into it. And the practice of gratitude is a wonderful practice of meditation. And it's actually something that you can practice in life. You know, there's usually in the morning when I wake up, I will write down three things that I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. So bringing gratitude into your life can physically change the chemistry internally. And then you start noticing less stress and more happiness and joy. And there's science around this. So I've created an ebook around the practice of gratitude and different things that you can do to bring into your life and how you can begin practicing this yourself. So I would like to share this ebook with anyone that is interested so that if they wanted to start the practice of gratitude, this gives them some great tips and tools and strategies to get started. And then of course, you know, they can always reach out and work with me further if they're interested, because I think it's a great way to start changing and bringing some love, compassion, joy into your life.
I love that. That's going to be so useful. And there's going to be a link below around somewhere around this video so that you guys can absolutely get to it. And I think there will also be, we'll be having links to how you can find Cheryl and all this great stuff that she does.
Love to connect with anyone. Yes.
Now, before we go, if you could leave people with one action they could take to help them declutter their life, what would that be?
I would definitely say, try to start living your life in present moment awareness. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I want to even nix the word try, because try is either do or do not, right? So when we try, we're not really sure whether we are or we aren't. Present moment awareness is so important. You know, as we talked about living in the future and how it creates that anxiety for us, especially nowadays, because we're living in a time where there's such uncertainty and we're not really sure where our world is shifting to, but it's definitely creating a new normal and yes, something that many of us have to begin to get used to. And there's a lot of anxiety, heightened anxiety and stress in this world. And so I think living in present moment awareness, just doing the things and trying to understand where you are right now. And a lot of times people are, you know, so worried that they don't understand that life is happening right now. Are you okay? Are you healthy? Are you connecting with the people that matter? You know, are you practicing gratitude? Are you showing love and compassion for yourself, for your family, and for others? Mm-hmm. So living in present moment awareness as much as you can, and that's weaving the mindfulness into your everyday practice. You know, those little tips that I shared with you earlier, because it really can start to create that space for you so that you're living in that moment and you're not worrying about the past or the future and really just living for today.
I love that. That's great. Thank you so much. You know what, Cheryl, I so loved talking with you today.
Yes, I enjoyed it too.
Thank you so much for being a part of the series.
Oh, I'm excited to hear all the rest of the interviews, and I so appreciate you asking me to join this and love connecting with you, and we can always do something together in the future as well, Leanne.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that. Audience, I know that you have enjoyed this interview just as much as I did. And I tell you, I've got another couple of great Acer Space interviews for you tomorrow. So make sure you look for the email in the morning where it will detail the interviews, where to find them, all that kind of good stuff. And until then, I will see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.